Welcome to the AA Grapevine, the magazine of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the August edition this month, and the featured section is Atheist Agnostic AA Members' Stories. Secular AA members share powerful personal stories about the joys and challenges of getting sober and working the program of AA. And my name is Vicki Duke, and I'm your volunteer broadcaster coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona. Starting with the first story. The title is God or No God by Alex M. of Louisville, Kentucky. A lifelong atheist shares how he embraced the program and learned to help others and found a home in AA. I drank for 40 years, and when I couldn't stop and my life was in shambles, a friend literally dragged me to my first AA meeting. That was in 2006. All I remember was a room full of drunks praising God for having gotten them sober and reciting the Lord's Prayer while holding hands at the end of the meeting. Since I had been a lifelong atheist and still am, I decided that this religious cult was not for me. After the meeting, I was surrounded by several men who gave me a big book and their telephone numbers and suggested I come back to another meeting the next day. Their kindness motivated me to return, along with the realization that I had nowhere else to go. I attended several AA meetings each day over the next few months while my head cleared. Members kept saying that God did for them what they couldn't do for themselves. And this mantra made no sense to me until I started reading the Big Book, which was filled with the word God and expressions such as psychic change, spiritual awakening, and spiritual experience. If I wanted to get sober and find a new way of life, I assumed I would need to change my beliefs, attitudes, and actions, which could only be facilitated by some type of God of my understanding. When I asked the old-timers how I could get sober if I didn't believe in God, they laughed and said, "Stick with the program and you will come to believe." Which sounded a bit arrogant to me. When I sought out others who might be atheist or agnostic to share their experience in AA, I found none. Frustrated and depressed, I decided I would go ahead and get a sponsor and try AA for 3 months. If it helped, I'd stay. If not, I'd leave. Ironically, my sponsor ended up being a sympathetic, born-again Christian who was not bothered by my atheism. He said the AA program was the 12 steps and his job was to guide me through them without prejudice or favor. He knew a number of happy, sober members who didn't believe in God. And he said that a belief in God was not a requirement in AA or for sobriety. Like the Buddhists, in my mind, I replaced the word God with good as I went through the Big Book and the steps and my spiritual awakening, with the realization that if I didn't drink and followed the moral values embedded in the 12 steps and the spiritual principles of AA, I could attain the new design for living our Big Book offers. For me, those principles boil down to the golden rule of treating others as I would like to be treated. As my years in AA progressed, I became more involved in service work and occasionally was asked to be a speaker at meetings. By that time, I knew not to dwell too long on my spiritual beliefs, but during one talk I did gently discuss my atheism with the goal of encouraging those like me to give AA a chance, despite AA's focus on God. At the end of that talk, the audience members filed out in silence, and none of them spoke to me after the meeting. Even the member who invited me to speak said nothing. I was deeply hurt and disheartened. All I wanted to do was open the door of AA wider to all types of alcoholics, because most of us die if we don't get help. I felt like a failure after that and considered dropping out of AA again. My sponsor consoled me by sharing that he was certain my talk had touched someone, because agnostic or atheist AA members don't often publicly admit their lack of a belief in God because they fear being judged by their fellow members. Being an atheist in AA is hard. Coming out of the closet as an atheist in AA is even harder. I've always felt welcome in AA, but I've had to temper the way I share my experience on God. My home group knows me well, and I have been told that when they run across a new member with a God problem, they automatically refer them to me, which I take as a compliment. For years, I resented all the God talk in the Big Book until I recognized that the Big Book is just one long Bill story. It is the story of the way Bill W. and others, many of them religious, got sober in the 1930s. Happily, God worked for them. But today, I realize that Bill's story does not have to be my story. Nor does Bill's God have to be my higher power. We each can have our own conception of a higher power, and that power does not have to be God. I consider myself a very spiritual person. I enjoy a morning quiet time when I read and reflect on some AA meditations and consider how I can use what I read to become a better person. I plan my day in the morning and review it at night. I follow the 12 steps as best I can, and I work with my sponsees and other alcoholics alongside their journey. Gratitude, service, and a sense of humor help me get through the day, along with a periodic spot check inventory. Pausing when agitated goes a long way toward preventing a buildup of resentments and fear. Fellowship members provide strength and support when needed. I have attended AA meetings at least 4 times a week over the past 18 years and have only one sobriety date. My experience is that anyone can get sober in AA, God or no God, if they follow the Big Book's design for living and the 12 steps and are willing to carry our message of hope and recovery to another alcoholic. And that's the end of that story. Next, we have a story entitled From Your Heart to Mine, by Jason D. of Lake Charles, Louisiana. Listening to one another's higher power through sharing is one of his biggest joys in AA. As I sit here and type this, I can't help but smile. I am an atheist who works the program of AA. The idea of God has never troubled me, but the views and actions of its many followers do. My personal belief is that humans are here by accident, and because we are of intelligent design, we seek to find purpose in life. What is that purpose? I don't know. The idea of living to die seems meaningless to me. I know people who have gone to church and become lit up with the idea of God leading their lives, and I'm happy for them, but it's not for me. But I do know we can learn good things from religious people. The Big Book states that clearly. Be quick to see where religious people are right. I have met a few guys who have thrown that phrase in my face, but it does not say they are right. It says see where they are right. The biggest challenge I have are people shunning me for my belief. I don't think their ideas are silly. It's just not for me. One of my biggest joys of the AA program is sharing God in a meeting of my peers. I listen to everyone's higher power speak through their hearts to me, just as when I share my higher power speaks to them. The people who accept me are the members who matter most to me. We do not argue, but instead discuss what we can do for each other. And that, to me, is being willing to grow along spiritual lines. I love that AA let me pick my God, as I understand Him, to work this program and practice these principles in all my affairs. If this were a religious program, I would have never tried it. I'm grateful for the members with whom I've become friends, the ones I might become friends with, the ones I will never be friends with, and the ones who will never give me a chance. My only ask is, how can I help you? And I pray that when I need a hand, someone will be willing to help me. Thanks for listening. I'm not a writer, so I hope this makes sense, and have a great day. And that's the end of that short story. The next story is Swimming with the Current by John Kay of Carrollton, Ontario. To him, AA is a program of action, not belief. If we're honest, kind, and living in the love, we're going the right way. When I was a month or so sober, a fellow came up to me after a meeting and declared emphatically, "You'll never stay sober if you don't accept God in your life." It was very clear that what he meant was a Judeo-Christian God, an omniscient and omnipotent third-party entity with agency in the physical world. I was taken aback. We had been discussing step two, and his statement seemed to fly in the face of assurances that AA did not require me to believe in anything. I try to keep an open mind, so I can say for certain that the man was wrong. What I do know for certain is that for the last 31 years, I've been able to stay away from a drink and live a contented, purposeful life without the sort of God in my life. I'm not a huge fan of labels. The only one that matters to me is that I'm an alcoholic. The term agnostic implies some sort of doubt which doesn't really apply to me. And a lot of people think atheist means anti-theist, which also doesn't apply to me. I fully support any spiritual path someone chooses if it supports their sobriety, so long as they don't try to impose it on anyone else. So, if you need to apply a label to me, you can call me a non-theist. I just don't find the concept of a supernatural third-party God relevant to me. The idea that there is something which decrees this airplane is going to land and this one's going to crash. This woman is going to win the lottery and that man is going to get cancer just doesn't resonate with me. I've been privileged to attend meetings in many different places. I've met alcoholics from a multitude of faith backgrounds, Hindus, Muslims, Sikhs, Buddhists, Jews, and Jains, including members who follow indigenous spiritual practices, or none at all. All these people have different rituals and doctrines, but they all speak of common principles, such as tolerance, forgiveness, generosity, humility, acceptance, and above all, love. It seems to me that these people stay sober and grow as human beings despite their different ceremonies and sometimes contradictory dogmas, because they use those universal spiritual principles as guideposts for living. That seems more important than whether or not there is a source of these principles. My understanding of my place in the universe has continued to evolve during my years in AA. That's a good thing. I don't want to become spiritually stagnant. Here's where I am right now. I don't think of God in the third person as a he, she, or they. Rather, I think of God in the first person, most often in the plural, we. Not that we as human beings are God or even God-like. Rather, that there is a spiritual dimension to everyone and everything around us. It manifests when we gather. It's that feeling I get when I walk into an AA meeting in a strange city full of people I've never met, and the weight of the world slips from my shoulders. It's what makes the whole greater than the sum of its parts. The fact that the word we figures so prominently in our program is a powerful statement. I don't feel the need for a God who cares for me personally. I'm insignificant, and I'm okay with that. I've lost loved ones in sobriety, and I've faced my own potential mortality a couple of times. I don't need to understand why or believe it's all part of some master plan. Fear is no longer the dominant force in my life. I don't know what happens when we die. I suspect it's just fade to black. I don't see any reason why what happens to us should be any different than what happens to an amoeba, an ant, or an elephant. But who knows? I've always liked Woody Allen's line, I don't believe in an afterlife, but I'm taking a change of underwear just in case. My spiritual journey in AA has truly been wonderful, and much of that wonder comes from the fact there's so much we don't know. On the physical plane, 95% of the universe is made up of dark matter and dark energy, stuff we have almost no understanding of. On the spiritual side, I think our ignorance is even more profound. The spiritual part of my alcoholic sickness was a sense of hopelessness and despair. That was because I was consumed by selfishness. I had cut myself off from the spiritual beauty that surrounds me. One of the surest ways to drown is to swim against the current. The current is shaped by the natural forces that govern the motion of water. It needs no supernatural explanation. Perhaps there is a natural spiritual current in the universe which has something to do with tolerance, forgiveness, humility, and the rest. I'm not sure that needs a supernatural explanation either. In the end, whatever I believe or don't believe is largely irrelevant. I was taught that AA is a program of action, not belief. What I know is that when I'm honest, people will generally respect me. If I'm kind, they will treat me likewise. When I align my will and my life with those great spiritual principles, when I live in love, I'm happier and feel more fulfilled. I have contented sobriety. And that's the end of that story. And the next story is entitled The Coffee God by Karen S. of Yakima, Washington. Her spiritual journey in AA opened her eyes and ears and filled her cup with many ways to believe. When I came into AA, I had a complete knowledge and awareness of my higher power. I was raised in a strict Christian home with strong Christian values, and of course, I knew the world could only be saved if we all agreed that my religion was the only way to heaven. In other words, I was a Bible guru with a lot of AAs have an aversion to. I was totally unwilling and unteachable. I saw people who believed in light bulbs and doorknobs to stay sober while I stayed drunk. And I couldn't figure out how they did it, when obviously they were so misguided. But I strayed from my early adherence to my religious upbringing and became an agnostic, an angry, bitter agnostic. I would tell people, when God comes down and fixes me a cup of coffee, I'll believe. After about 25 years of going in and out of AA, I finally quit drinking in 2020 during the COVID pandemic. By that time, I had drunk myself into an abusive relationship, and he and I were both homeless, living in seedy motels, and we eventually lived in a tent for 8 months. Of course, this was all my husband's fault because he was the real alcoholic. He was always throwing fits of rage, getting assault charges, getting us evicted, and screaming at my kids when they tried to help me get away. Eventually, my kids told me tearfully that they couldn't bear to sit by and see me suffer anymore. Here I was, up in the forests of Rimrock in Washington State, living with a man who hated me and who hated himself, and I wanted to help him get sober. I never stopped to realize that I was drinking with him. One day, while walking among the trees by the river, I suddenly noticed all the beauty. And I knew that the trees, sky, and all of nature were much bigger than me, and I prayed to whatever was out there to help me, because at this point, I had no answers. I was done. I had nothing, no plans, no ideas, nothing. I began to believe in the native conviction of nature as my higher power. I started going to AA and have been sober ever since. This time my eyes and ears opened. I began to understand what folks had said all along. I became willing to not just sit and watch, but to hear. My journey to a higher power of my understanding had grown exponentially as I've been around these tables. I've come to believe. I now know I don't have a monopoly on God. My sponsor, who believes God is an energy source that flows throughout the universe and in us, gave me an adult coloring book when I was laid up after surgery. I was humbled by her gift because the book had Bible verses in it. I realized that even though her views were completely different than mine, her open mind, acceptance of my beliefs, and her respect for me helped me see that maybe I could also believe that God is a powerful source of energy in the universe that moves through nature and me. I saw that Buddhists, Hindus, and Muslims had gotten sober. I believed that any type of faith in something greater was not just the first step to God of the Bible that I once believed was essential for salvation, but that the God I had so thoroughly believed in wasn't the only way to spirituality. I realized that light bulbs illuminate darkness and doorknobs open doors. God knows I couldn't get the door of willingness open for years. Maybe those members who did believe in light bulbs and doorknobs had something they could teach me. I've been in AA for several years now, and my concept of a higher power has grown so much. I'm forever grateful to a God of my lack of understanding who is constantly getting larger and larger. Ironic as it seems, the God I insisted should fix my coffee does just this every time I attend an AA meeting. And that's the end of her story. And we have just enough time for a short piece on step eight, Stop the Car by Anonymous of High Falls, New York. She loved her dad dearly, but the steps showed her she owed him an amends. But when? One day on a country road, she knew. I came in as an adult woman who drank for decades with no concept of what living sober meant. I took all these suggestions. I found a sponsor, started working the steps through the big book. We met once a week and read each chapter and worked each step as we went. When we came to the fourth step, she had me write down my resentments, and I thought, that was easy. I add my father to this list, but I didn't understand why. I had always been a daddy's girl. I do not remember ever resenting him, but I took the suggestion anyway and wrote his name down. Time moved on. I carried that piece of paper in my wallet, keeping it with me just in case the time came to make the amends. One day, the man who is now my husband and I went out for a drive in the country on an unfamiliar back road. Amazingly, this was where my dad was buried. I got out of the car, walked into the woods, and when I got to his grave, I took out the folded amends list from my wallet and started to get on my knees to pray. The next part's hard to explain. It was an out-of-body experience. I felt forgiveness. The experience I felt was in my heart. It was love for my dad, from my higher power, and even for myself. I suddenly couldn't breathe with a new appreciation for the journey of sobriety. That's the end of that story and the end of part one. The August edition of the AA Grapevine will continue on part two.